Thanks for checking out the Awaken Church podcast. Awaken Church messages are brought to you by our generous givers and partners. You can always learn more about the vision or give financially to support the work God is doing here at Awaken by visiting our website, awakenchurch.cc. If you can't make one of our weekly worship services, you can always watch online by going to our website and clicking on the Watch tab. And now, wherever you're joining us from, thanks for listening, and we hope this message encourages you.
Pray with me. God, thank you so much that that's a reality. Thank you that the gospel is not about us. It's the good news that you sent Jesus for us. And because he died on the cross for our sins and was placed in a tomb but raised back to life, we too can have life. So this morning, for those of us who are believers, for those of us who would call ourselves Christians, we thank you today. We give you praise. For those in the room with questions, that are trying to figure this whole thing out, God, I pray this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open their eyes, open their ears, open their hearts to receive the good news of your love for them. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, church. Would you go ahead and take your seats? I wanna go ahead and let you know that I'm coming in hot this morning. I was in Mexico all week. With a pastor's retreat. So I was with several hundred pastors and their wives, and we were at this resort. And now that you all hate me, I want you to know I'm just really encouraged. And the reason why is this. It's not because I'm rested up. It's not because I had 5 days in a pool with Ashley. The reason why is, man, I got to hear so many stories of how the church is winning around the world. I got to hear stories of, I was there, one of the guys 2 years ago, we were at a similar retreat, and he's a pastor up in Maryland. And we were there in the fall of 21. And so after 21, you know, COVID hit different places, different ways. And in Maryland, in the Northeast, it was brutal. And I remember talking to him in the pool. We were playing pool volleyball, and we had a conversation. And y'all, listen, I'm good at it, by the way. I'm really good at it. You know who's better than me at pool volleyball? Robbie Denson is better than me at pool volleyball. But he's the only one. I'm better than Sean, too. But here's the deal. I was talking to this guy 2 years ago, and I remember our conversation centered around this reality that they may have to close their doors. And he was there, and he was like, you know, kind of burned out and really struggling and discouraged. And, you know, I was like, hey, man, let's keep in touch. And we exchanged numbers. That was 2 years ago. And, you know, like a lot of us, I'm like, hey, we'll stay in touch. We did. And it was kind of like camp friends that just drifted, you know. We were at the retreat again this past week, and I got to celebrate with him stories of how after mandates were lifted and once doors are reopened, God is building that church, and he's taking ground, and people are getting saved, and it's growing. And I heard story after story after story where that was taking place. And I just wanna encourage you, because it means that the kingdom of God is advancing and the church is taking ground. And so we get to see it here week in and week out, but I want us to realize we're part of something so much bigger than just ourselves. And so when we pray, right, like when we pray for the church, when we pray for the world, it's important that we remember, like, we are one segment of the body of Christ called Awaken Church here in Charleston. But there are so many other believers out there that are on the same mission as us. Amen? And as we talk about things like the Awaken Prayer Room, I want to talk for just a moment about it. Because the Awaken Prayer Room really came out of this idea of what would it look like for us as a church to create a space where once a month we could just carve out an hour early in the morning during the week where it's actually a little difficult to get to. Like, what would it look like if we didn't go, hey, let's figure out the best time to put on the calendar where as many people as possible can come to a prayer meeting? It was intentionally put on Tuesday morning at 7:30. And I, as your pastor, I just want to share, this is reality. I only care. The only person I care is present is Jesus. Like, it's not one of those we're gonna be measuring attendance. Like, hey, let's see how many people we get to the prayer room. That's not it. The goal is we're gonna create a space where we come in, we read some scripture, we seek God. And it's for our church, but it's also for those outside of our church. And so I wanna encourage you, if you know people, if you know someone, whether they know God or not, that could use prayer, that just need to experience the presence of the Lord, I would encourage you to bring them. And you may go, man, they ain't coming at 7:30 on a Tuesday morning. Don't give a no for them. You'd be surprised what people desperate with an encounter for God, you'd be surprised what they'll do. And maybe God's using you to be a conduit to get them here. So that's what the Awaken Prayer Room is gonna be. I do wanna say, if you're new here today, you've walked in at a very interesting time. Two things I wanna say to you. One, I hope that you find out that this is a church that you belong in. Like, I really hope you belong here. You feel like, man, these are my kind of people. This is not a church that where you walk in and feel judged, where you walk in and feel condemned, or you feel like I don't fit in. I want you to know that we're all a lot more messed up than we may look. Some look more messed up. That's just called ugly. Like I'm kidding, man. You are a beautiful church. But I do think sometimes there's a stereotype on church that church people have it all together, and that's just not true. In my experience here over the last 10 years, what I've come to realize is that we're a culture of people that love each other. We're full of grace, but we also have stuff that we're dealing with. And as we carry it to the cross and pursue Jesus and try to become more like him, we're actually a pretty beautiful community called the local church. We're family. And I hope that you can find that you belong here. I also want to say that you've come in on the last week of a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit called Freshly Squeezed. And someone asked, how'd you come up with that name? And this is how we came up with the name. This is a little behind the scenes of how we do things at Awaken. Usually I'll name the series or I'll ask one other person, hey, what do you think? You have any good ideas? For this one, I had a creative block. And I was like, guys, I'm doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit and I don't know what to call it. So I'd love to take suggestions from all of our staff and we'll see who the winner is. We're very competitive staff. And so they all submitted different titles. And you know what Robbie, our ministries pastor here, you know what he submitted? You know what his sermon title was? He said, you should call the series Bite Me. So y'all can pray for him. But we decided to go with Lucas Denson's series title, which is Freshly Squeezed. And the whole summary of this series is this. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Paul describes these characteristics as an overflow out of the life of somebody that's walking in the Holy Spirit, that's living by the Spirit, that's filled with the Spirit of God. And this whole series has been about how can we cultivate that in our lives. And so in some ways, as we're at the end of this series, we can kind of be, okay, what else do we talk about? We've covered all nine of them. We've talked about what it looks like to cultivate them. We've talked about what to do when those aren't being seen in your life. But what I want to do today is to spend a few moments on what it would look like for us to share that fruit with other people in our lives. Because sometimes we can do things and not really talk about it, or we can do things and even if people notice, we kind of shy away from acknowledging it. And what I wanna do is talk about the call and really the command on Jesus that he gives us to share that fruit that's going on in our lives with other people and actually talk about it. Like for instance, when you pick up the Bible and you read stories of the Old Testament and the New Testament, what's celebrated in these stories are these types of characteristics. Like for instance, if you go to the Old Testament, I want to think about David, right? King David was anointed as the next king over Israel, but at the time he was just a shepherd boy. But he gets this like, he gets blessed as the next king, and the current king is King Saul, and King Saul is evil and God's hand has come off of him. And there's a story in the life of Saul and David. Saul is actually in a cave. David is on a run for his life. And David sees Saul in this cave, and he could, if he wanted to, David could have killed Saul and become king of Israel. He could have just taken the throne. But instead, David slides up behind Saul, and he cuts off a piece of his robe and then tells him that he did it. And I was thinking about, how does that match up with fruit of the Spirit? Man, that's self-control, if I've ever known it to be. Like if you know that's gonna be your throne and you know that the guy currently in that seat is really evil and you know that God's already said that you're gonna be king, why not go ahead and take it? Self-control is going, you know, I'm gonna trust God. I'm gonna be patient. There's another one. I'm gonna be patient and trust God's timing and I'm not gonna take it for myself. You go to the New Testament. That's the Old Testament story of patience. New Testament story of patience. I think about the son or the father in the prodigal son story, who has his younger son that leaves the house and goes and squanders all of his wealth and just goes crazy in Vegas and hits rock bottom. And when he finally comes home, what we find is the dad was sitting on the porch waiting, I would imagine, praying for his son who's left. Like, you know how much patience it takes to not send out a search party to go find your kid? But he's patient. And Jesus tells that story describing Heavenly Father, God, who's patient for us, right? Like, God is patient and God is kind. He doesn't want any of us to perish. Like he, and so we have this picture of patience, Old Testament, New Testament. You think about joy. The Old Testament, you read the book of Psalms, and there's commands all through the book of Psalms to have joy, to rejoice, like joy on our lips, sing songs of praise, sing songs of joy. The whole book, in fact, is really about joy. It's songs, it's poems. The New Testament, we think about joy, right? You go, well, man, where do we see this displayed in the New Testament? Philippians. Take the whole book of Philippians, a letter written to the church. Paul wrote it from prison. And the whole book's about having joy and being thankful. Like, how does he do that if he's in prison? It's the Holy Spirit flowing through his lives. I think about faithfulness in the Old Testament. There's Rahab that's in Jericho. Y'all know, you remember the story? Like the walls of Jericho, Rahab's a prostitute in Jericho. And the two spies go into Jericho. And they say, hey, Rahab, hide us at the top of your house. Lie to the authorities when they come looking for us. And if you do this, when we come in and conquer Jericho, you and your family will be spared. Rahab was faithful to do what she said, and her faithfulness led to her salvation. Think about the New Testament. We celebrate the faithfulness of the disciples. They continued to follow Jesus. Even though times got hard, they didn't fall away. And so there's these fruits that are themed all through scripture that we celebrate. And maybe you're here going, look, that's great, Brandon, that's great, but what about my life? Like, make it make sense for me right now. And here's what I'll encourage you with. There's moms, there's dads, there's teenagers, there's college students in this room, and you're thinking to yourself, there's no fruit flowing out of my life. Like, this stuff doesn't make sense to me at all. But can I just tell you that for the mom that's here on a random Tuesday morning when the house is going crazy and you woke up late, the kids woke up late, and you ain't put your face on yet, and you're putting lunches together and you're trying to get them out of the door, and then you get hit with a curveball in some situation, like fruit of the Spirit in that moment, if you can have joy and patience and not react and have self-control, you know how much of a ministry it is to display that fruit of the Spirit in your life? Or maybe the dad, like let me submit the dad that comes home from work, right? It's been a long day. Maybe things didn't go as planned. You didn't hit budget, whatever project failed, and you pull up to the house and you get hit with, you know, your kids messed up in school today, or maybe you got in a little argument with your spouse and you got some choices to make, right? Like, how am I gonna respond in this moment? Am I gonna be gentle? Am I gonna have self-control? Or am I gonna react? And am I gonna just respond? Like, There's decisions that we have to make, and as these fruits come out, they're a testimony of who we're walking with. I think about the faithfulness of so many of you that give faithfully in your tithes. You give generously, right? Like the impact of your faithfulness, even through job loss, even through inflation, even through tough economy, and what God's doing in and through this church. Like, the faithfulness is a massive indicator of our spiritual walk and the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so don't discount, this is what I wanna say to you. Just because you're not on stage with a mic, just because you're not under the lights singing, just because you're not leading a small group or leading a kid's classroom, don't discount the ministry that's flowing from you as you display the fruit of the Spirit in your life. God's using it and people are seeing it. So what can we do to cultivate even more of it? There's really three big principles or truths that I wanna talk about this morning that I think can help us speak of and share these fruits in our lives. And the first one is this, if you're taking notes, it'd be to encourage you to choose God over good. Choose God over good, what does that mean? When I say good, what I mean is this, like, I'm gonna be a good person. It's behavior modification is what I'm talking about. In other words, like, you could have a choice where, you know what, I'm gonna do better, I'm gonna try harder, I'm gonna stop doing this, I'm gonna start doing that. And so this checklist that I like to call religion, this do's and don'ts, this yes and no's. But when you choose God, the difference is, you go, I'm choosing to surrender my life to God rather than choosing to do this checklist of things that I think God will like. It's two different things. Because if we choose good and we choose behavior modification, it always leads to failure. Paul said it like this. Let me read this to you out of Romans chapter 7. Paul, who was a great apostle, Paul, who was a missionary and a church planner, Paul said, look, this is what I've discovered in life, that when I wanna do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Can anybody besides me relate to that statement? Like, I want to do what's right, but I do what's wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. I want to pause for a second because I had a situation with my 9-year-old daughter that I think makes this make sense. And I just want to tell you because it's funny. Brooklyn, if you see her, she's running around. She's dressed up as a pumpkin this morning. That's her church costume. Tuesday night, she'll be Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's not evil. I don't really know. The only reason I can think of she didn't come to church as Taylor Swift is, like, I think the belly's showing. And I've made a huge issue of that in my house. Y'all pray for me. I got 2 daughters. And I don't like that stuff. But Brooklyn is, she's the runt of the family. And by the curse or grace of God, she's in a very competitive family. And so Brooklyn, if she loses a volleyball game, she cries. If we go bowling as a family and she throws a gutter ball, she cries. If she loses Uno, she cries. If she loses, like, Go Fish, she cries. I mean, it's crazy. So we have this rule in our family, like, if we go bowling and Brooklyn throws a gutter, don't look at her. Like, if you make eye contact, it's over. I mean, you'll ruin the whole event. So, like, she'll throw a gutter and we're like, oh, man, look at those lights. Like, wow, you know, just we're all looking away. And we had this conversation one day with me and Ashley. She was, like, crying. Then she started laughing at herself. And we're like, babe, you can't take this stuff so seriously. And she said, this is her little 9-year-old brain. I don't understand it. And she was like, I don't, like, want to cry, but there's, like, something in me that makes me, and I can't control it. And I was like, I know, sweetheart, trust me. It made this passage come alive for me, right? Like, there's something inside of me. It's like, God, I have all good intentions to do what's right. But, and it's like, Paul says the same thing. There's this power, verse 23. There's another power within me that's at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that's still in me. What a miserable person I am. And who's gonna free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? And I love what Paul says here. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. He's like, I can't do it on my own. So thank you, God, for Jesus, because it's only through him that I'm able to resist those temptations and resist that sin. He says, see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Listen, if you've tried it, you know, if you choose behavior modification, it's got a very short shelf life. Like, you'll always eventually end up sliding back into what it was that you were doing. If you were to go into Barnes & Noble right now, or Books A Million, you see book after book after book on self-help, right? How to be a better blank, how to be a better blank, how to be all these, or podcasts. Look in your podcast library. Tons of podcasts on self-help principles. In fact, a couple years ago, it was just a stressful season, and as a leader, every day that was going by, this was the largest church that I'd ever pastored, still is. And so I was stressing, and sometimes in meetings, I'm like, man, I'm reacting. I'm not, like, listening. I have answers too quick. I need to listen better. And so I was trying to figure out, how can I have more, like, patience and self-control in meetings? And some of y'all are like, oh, as a pastor, you shouldn't do that. Listen, man, I'm a work in progress. And so I was listening to a podcast that was giving me tips on how to be more patient and more self-controlled as a leader. Here's some practical tips that it gave. When you're in a situation and you want to react, there's a breathing exercise where you inhale and then exhale 7 seconds. All right, y'all want to do it together? Let's not, it's weird. And actually, if you try to do that in the room, in a tense situation, you know how weird that is? Like, I tried it. It's like, God, it freaks everybody out. Another one was to just squeeze your thumb, like, under the table, right? Like, just squeeze your thumb, that it calms anxiety, like, calms your nervous system. Another tip was to reframe the situation. In other words, even though it's tensious, act like you're not there. I never quite mastered that one. But y'all, like, practically, I was thinking, okay, these are things I legitimately, like, tried to do. And then what ultimately I just realized is, like, no, like, your tendency to react or want to answer before listening, it's really pride. And so the only thing that's gonna fix pride is the Holy Spirit's work in your life. So yield as a leader to the Holy Spirit instead of trying all these self-help principles, recognize what God's word said is true. That the only way that you're gonna grow in these areas and it's gonna be fruit that lasts, like Jesus talked about, is if you allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in and through your life. And it's true for you too. It's true for you as a husband. It's true for you as a wife. It's true for you as a friend. It's true for you as a teenager or a college student, as an employee, as a boss, right? You're like, I wanna do better blank. Let me just back up and I would ask you to consider a different question. How can you allow the Holy Spirit to change you in that way? That's really what the ask should be. So choose God over good. Choose what will be permanent and lasting over what's actually temporary. And listen, on that note, there's a couple, I think, practices that will help you. These aren't a checklist, but these are practices that are a way that you choose God. For instance, every day, like choose a time during your day, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 15 minutes. It's your daily time with God. Block it out as if you would a meeting at work or lunch with your spouse or a FaceTime with your friends. Like block it out like it matters. You go, what am I gonna do? You can read the Bible. You can go on Right Now Media. We have all kinds of resources. We give you a free membership as a church. It can be digital. It can be reading. Like do a reading plan through a YouVersion Bible app. Figure out a way that for a block of time in your day, you're choosing to have time with God. Second one is just pray. Prayer, worship, those help cultivate it. Commit to a small group. Commit to a team. Get in relationship with people at the church that actually know you and can help you grow in your faith. Consistently attend church, right? Be here. I was talking to a couple last week that said, hey, you'd be proud of us. We've been at church 4 weeks in a row. And you know what? I was very proud of them. Because when you've been away from church for such a long time, it's very difficult to establish that habit and that discipline again. But you'd be amazed at the difference that it makes when you have that consistency in your life to be in the house of God. Another one is to trust God with your finances. Trust him with your tithe. Trust him with your giving. Listen, church, I want to go ahead and tell you, next week we're starting a series, a three-week series called Above and Beyond, where we're going to be talking about giving and generosity. If that scares you away from church, then just take a three-week hiatus because you're not going to like us. But I want to encourage you. Here's what I want to encourage you with. One of the greatest ways that you'll see God's faithfulness and blessing in your life is in the arena of finances. It's why Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven and hell. And I think for us, sometimes we shy away from that because we're like, people don't like the church talking about money. But what I've found is that people who are generous and that have walked in God's blessings, they actually love it when the church talks about money. And I want to press into that with you guys for the next 3 weeks as we grow together in that regard, because I think God's got a lot to teach us. So be faithful in your giving. Date your wife, date your husband. Like if you're here and you're going, hey, how can I choose God in this relationship? Prioritize it the way that Jesus says to. Lead your family, pray for your kids, right? Serve your family, serve your kids. These are ways that you're choosing God rather than choosing behavior that you hope makes things better. So choose God over good. Second thing I would say is that we gotta know our story. So know your story. If I were to ask you right now, what is your story as it pertains to God? What would you say? Like, what's he done in your life? We all have a story. Maybe you're here and you're going like, I don't know. Or this is the first day that I've introduced God into my story. That's great, that's a start. But what's the story of what God's writing in your life? What would you say to people if they were to ask you? Like Peter said it like this. Peter was first guy that walked on water other than Jesus. In fact, only guy that walked on water other than Jesus. He was there for almost every miracle. One of Jesus' closest friends. Yes, Peter denied Jesus 3 times when he was arrested. But Jesus forgave him and reinstated him as a leader of the early church. And Peter wrote a couple letters to the church. And in one of them, he said this in 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, look, worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Always be ready to explain it. Here's my question. Is your story an explanation of God's goodness? Is it on your lips ready to share with people? Like, are you looking for ways to actually share it? I don't mean like be weird and like, hey, I'm gonna go out there and preach in the streets. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is like, When the opportunity comes up for you to testify to God's goodness and grace and what he's done in your life, do you talk about it? Do you talk about it? And what would it look like if you started talking about it? I think about John's gospel. There's a story where Jesus is walking along and he heals a blind man. And then this blind man like is now seeing and he runs into the city and the religious leaders come to him and they're like, hey, do you think because Jesus heals you, you think he's a sinner? And I love what he says. The guy's like, look, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but all I know is this. I was blind and now I can see. Right? Like, and I love that because as I think about that as a Christian, so many people have different concepts about who Jesus is or who God is. And I'm going like, I don't need to articulate all these intellectual statements about who Jesus is or counter yours. Here's what I know he has done in my life. I know that when I was without him and far from God, I walked this way. I know that by the miracle of salvation, he saved me and changed me. And now I walk this way. And that explanation of my story, I own. And if I share it, you can't discredit it. And so what I want to encourage you with is this. Do you have a story? And yes, a salvation story. Yes, a story of like, I was lost, but now I'm found. Yes, baptism. That's why we celebrate baptisms. Like, we want you to have a moment where you like go in the water and out of the water, and it's definitive. It's declarative. Like, I'm a new creation in Christ. But church, can we agree? Like, there's stories beyond that story. Like, as you walk with God, think about what he's done in the earlier service. Man, Evan West was in the earlier service. So many of you know Evan, but a lot of you don't. Evan and Krista West last summer are having a baby and they gave birth prematurely. And their daughter, Hope, lost her life. I remember being down at the hospital with several of our staff and their small group and the care that surrounded them as a couple and their family during that season. Now, what's amazing is Evan and Krista, because of the care that they received through the church in that season, they've now established a nonprofit called You Keep Hope Alive, where they're using their experience to now minister to other families who go through child loss. That's a story of God's goodness and grace. Like when somebody says, man, Evan, Krista, how in the world could you do this? Oh, let me tell the story of what God did for us in and through his church. Let me tell the story of how he was faithful and the story of the healing that we've gone through because of God's church. That's a story. I think about stories like, hey, I lost my job, but man, I continued giving. God gave me an even better job, right? I think about stories where, man, our marriage was really struggling, but we got into a small group that encouraged us to get into counseling, and now we're stronger than ever, and we have couples surrounding us and praying for us. I think about stories of, man, I moved to Charleston. I knew nobody for post-grad. I came to church off an invite at a restaurant, got into a small group, man, and now these are my closest friends, and this is my community. Like, when you hear those stories, it's like, man, that's the goodness of God. So know your story and share it, right? Like, what is it? What would you say God's done in your life? And if you're sitting there going, man, I don't really know, maybe let him start writing it. And maybe today you go, you know what? I want him to be a part of this story. I want to invite him into my life. And maybe today you make that decision. But let me just encourage you. Where's your story? What has he done? What's he done for you? What's he done in you? What's he doing through you? And listen, it doesn't have to be some big like, I launched this nonprofit, or man, I started this church, or I started this ministry. What it could be is, you know what? I'm just not as angry anymore. Like, I used to be a really angry dude and argumentative, and man, God, by his grace, like, he's just changed me, and I'm not that anymore. Right? Like, think about what he's done in you. That's a testimony. That's a miracle of his grace. And don't be afraid to share it. Which brings me to the third point, if we're gonna start sharing our fruit, and that's don't be afraid of the dark. It's a Halloween reference because it's Halloween week. You're like, oh my gosh, you celebrate Halloween. Listen, we wanna do everything short of sin to see people far from God awaken to life in Christ. And I don't think trick-or-treat is a sin. And you know what's actually scary? By the way, when I say don't be afraid of the dark, y'all ever driven by a haunted house in the daytime? It's really not that scary, right? Like Boone Hall, the Fright Night, anybody been? Fright Night's scary at night, boy. They got chainsaws and stuff, they're running around. But during the day, if you go to the pumpkin patch, Fright Night looks like a joke. The darkness makes it more scary. And while we're on it, you know what's actually scary? Like if you're trick-or-treating, it's the house that's like no lights and they don't participate. Those are the houses you're actually afraid of, you know? Like avoid those neighbors all year. They're not happy. And in all seriousness, you know, I think so many times as Christians, as the church, we know God's done stuff in our lives. We have stories to share. But when opportunities arise to share them, we shy away. Like we don't talk about it. And I know this is hitting a chord with some of you. Man, I don't want to share that. It might offend that person. I don't want to share that. Like, may rub them the wrong way. I don't want to share that. They may think I'm some Jesus freak. Like, I don't want to share that because it may, it's going to mess the relationship up. And it reminds me of what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5. And I want to read it for you. Jesus said, look, you're the light of the world. You're like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds, and by the way, good deeds could be good fruit. Let your good deeds shine for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Wait a minute now. The rub I have is this. I get a little weirded out when people are like, oh, we did all these good things for God. Look at us. And I think we should get weirded out by that. But here's what I want to encourage you with. When Jesus gives this command, hey, let your good deeds shine for all to see. It's the following line I think we need to pay attention to. So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father, not you. And what does that look like? Here's what it looks like. When you see God come through in your life, give him credit. So he gets worshiped and not you. For instance, hey man, I lost my job, but I'm praying for a job. You know how easy it would be when you get that new job to be like, well, yeah, I mean, listen, I didn't really want my other one anyway. Like I was qualified, I got good experience. This door opened, I'm thankful for it. But the better response is, hey, listen, I didn't know what I was gonna do. Like I was praying to God, I told my small group to pray for us and you know what, God came through and God provided and I'm thankful for it, right? It's giving him credit so that he gets glory and he gets worshiped. He's the hero of the story, not us. It's going, look, man, when people are like, man, I kind of see like you and your wife like rekindled, like y'all are going out, like see y'all actually dating each other, like y'all look stronger together as a couple. It's, you could be like, yeah, you know what, man, like it's just a good season for us. Or you could say, you know what, we actually started attending church and we got connected to a small group that advised us to go to counseling and God's worked a miracle in our relationship and we're stronger than ever. Why? Because he's in the center of it now. That's giving him glory, right? That's shining so that he gets worship from us. Like it's giving an account or being prepared to share what it is that God's doing in and through our lives. That's how God wants to use the fruit to draw people to himself. So let me ask you a question. What would happen? It's a little bit of a challenge. What would happen if this week or the next 2 weeks, you just kind of made this internal commitment? You know what? I'm going to look for a way to share about something God's done in my life. Share a little bit of my story. What would that look like? Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's with a friend. Maybe it's online. But you go, you know what? I'm gonna shine a light so that the good that's seen can cause praise to my heavenly Father. Like he gets credit for it, not us. What would happen if you committed to that? You know how crazy it'd be if all of us did that in some capacity? The number of conversations that would go out. I had a dad after the first service say, hey man, I'm taking the family to the fair today. Just pray maybe a conversation strikes up. I'm like, yeah, everybody at the fair needs Jesus. You know what I'm saying? but really, it's like if we rolled with a mindset of, you know what, God, today, give me an opportunity to share about your goodness, to share about your grace, to share what you've done in my life. Man, I think God would start to use us to reach people that are really far from him and allow them to experience what we've experienced. Would you pray with me? I'm gonna close things up. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the series, the challenge, to be people who walk by the Spirit and in the Spirit. God, I thank you for your faithfulness to grow these things in our lives, to grow love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. these are things we cannot accomplish on our own. So God, we acknowledge that we're desperate for you, desperate that we need you. Father, we live in a world that needs to see you, and the means to see you is through us. So God, help us to shine bright and not be ashamed. Church, as we continue to pray, I know full well that there's some of you here today who have not allowed God to write your story. You've never welcomed him into your life. And maybe today you're in a place of going, look, you know what? Today I really want to establish a relationship with that God. The God that he's talking about, the God that loves me, and the God that sent his son to die on a cross for me. Like, I want a relationship with that God. And I want to invite you in just a moment to do just that, to make a decision to give your life to Jesus Christ, to follow him today. You're not going to have all the answers, and you may not even know what's next. But I'm going to invite you to take the first step to trust Jesus today, and then allow us to come alongside you to help you grow in your faith. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if that's your decision to follow Jesus. For the rest of you, if you're here and you're going, look, I am a Christian, but I need to grow in some of these areas. I'm a Christian, but I need to share my faith more. I want to encourage you and challenge you during this time of response in a moment. Maybe go to the cross and just put a name of someone you need to share Jesus with on that cross. Or maybe come to the prayer team and pray with them. But do something with what God's saying to you during this moment. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you would say, look, I want to make a decision to give my life to Jesus today for the very first time, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and lift your hand right now. I'm not going to do anything crazy. I just want to pray for you. Lift your hand as high as you can. Amen. I see you. Praise God. Praise God. Father, right now, I thank you for decisions that are being made. I thank you that the gospel still works. God, you tell us that when your word is proclaimed, it will accomplish the work that you intend for it to. And so God, the seeds of the gospel that are taking root in people's hearts right now, I pray, God, you would just grow it up. God, that you'd make it mature and grow into a strong person, a strong woman, a strong man of faith. And God, use us as a church to help make that happen. So God, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for salvation that changes everything. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. The people of God said, amen. Church, as you stand and sing, can we celebrate salvations that have taken place in this house this morning? Amen. Amen. Go ahead and stand to your feet. And as we respond, our prayer team's in place. If you want to step out for prayer, communion stations are open for believers in the back. If you want to be reminded of just the body and the blood of Christ, you can go take communion there. Prayer stations are open. Step out now and just obey the Holy Spirit as he leads us during this time.